Laura Ingalls Wilder described it in her fourth book in the Little House on the Prairie series. The strange cloud approached. Laura was frightened, and she did not know why. The cloud was over the sun. It was not like any cloud they had ever seen before. There was no wind. The grasses were still, and the hot air did not stir. But the edge of the cloud came on across the sky faster than the wind. Then huge brown grasshoppers were hitting the ground all around her, hitting her head and her face and her arms. They came thudding down like hail. The cloud was hailing grasshoppers. The cloud was grasshoppers. Laura describes her dad, who, like other Kansas farmers, tried to fight with smoke and fire. But these efforts were to no avail. Within a day, the crops, not just the heads of the wheat and the corn, but the leaves and the stems, were stripped bare. Willow trees were barren. It was a disaster for farmers in Oklahoma, Kansas, and Nebraska, and in some years from the Rocky Mountains across to Illinois. In 1875, medical doctor and school superintendent Albert Child telegraphed east to west to measure a swarm of migratory grasshoppers. He used a telescope to measure the heights. The cloud was 1,800 miles long, 110 miles wide, and 1/4 to 1/2 mile deep, an area of 198,000 square miles, an estimated 3.5 trillion insects. Massive swarms from 1874 to 1877 were estimated to have caused a loss of $116 billion in today's dollars, over half of the annual agricultural production back then. But in the 1890s, the numbers of migratory grasshoppers had fallen dramatically. What happened to this insect that far exceeded the devastation of the desert migratory grasshopper of biblical times that still swarms in Africa today? Wyoming entomologist Jeffrey Lockwood chronicles the history and evidence surrounding this amazing insect in his book, Locusts, The Devastating Rise and Mysterious Disappearance of the Insect That Shaped the American Frontier. Today's African migratory grasshopper has two forms. When the population is low, its wings are short, and it stays put. But when the African population is high, its wings grow long and it takes to the skies. Is the Rocky Mountain grasshopper still among us in a different form? Do we call it by another species name? Museum specimens gave no clues. Lockwood and his graduate students climbed the Rockies to examine glaciers that were melting and exposing insects frozen over a century ago. With the help of biochemists and DNA analysis, there is no doubt that this species is truly extinct. So just what drove the extinction of this grasshopper that flew in numbers that blocked out the sun? Lockwood assembled what was known of the insect's breeding grounds. He also considered the agricultural practices of the time, with 10 cattle for every person, and the over-farming that followed the land rush. We cannot go back in time, but Lockwood points to how cattle grazing transformed mountain valleys. His bottom line? Cattle simply stomped out the grasshopper's streamside eggs. Humans have never driven an insect pest to extinction using pesticides or machinery. But today, our skies never darken from clouds of trillions of Rocky Mountain grasshoppers. And for that, you can thank a cow.